years. Sing it again. Lord, prepare to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. That means he's got something to thank him for today. I'll be your living sanctuary for you. A living, breathing, walking God. That's the mystery of this whole end time. All wrapped up in one statement. Right. Ye are gods. Amen. And you have to determine whether you're in that group or not. Because it's an individual affair with God. I can't give you anything today. At all. You'll have to receive it from God. And I hope you do. Amen. Love to be in the house of the Lord. Love each and every one of you. Good to have Brother Richard, Sister Katrina, and Sister Brenda with us. They're not visitors. They've been here before, so their names are written in the real book, so we don't have to worry about the name written in the book on a roll somewhere else. They're just here with us today, and the instruction. I need it wet. I need it wet up here. Brother Ray's not doing this today. I am. Now. There we go. We're going to have a little Sunday school class today. The reason we're doing this is it was requested. I did this down in St. Augustine, Florida a few weeks ago, and Dad happened to be there, and I got his seal of approval, so we're going to do it today, and we're going to put it on a video. Can everybody see this? Can you see it from over there? Donnie, you'll be okay. I'll move it around with some, but that's fine. Just leave it right there. But the Lord bless each and every one of you. Pray for Dad, and I want to thank Brother Joe Salas. He took over Sunday school this morning, and I think they just fired me. So, if I'm upstairs next Sunday, you'll know that I have been put out. But that's okay. No, he did a wonderful job. And if he'd like to continue that, it doesn't bother me a bit. I'm not the only pebble on the beach. You guys know that it takes a fivefold ministry. It takes laity. It takes... It takes each individual. And before we get into the service, let's turn to Hebrews 10. Has something been on my heart just for a moment? We're going to take our time with this today and try to show something in your journey, a journey of life. But it's a journey that God put us on. And it's He that has made us and not we ourselves. We're the sheep of His pasture. We didn't choose to be in this end time, but now that we are in the end time, I thank God He chose us to be in the end time. All right, so this is going to be just a small something that we're going to read. I'm going to go over this because it's just something that's been on my heart. This has nothing to do with what we're going to do here, but I think it may be something that we need to look at. Hebrews 10 and 25. Let's pray before we start. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for each one that has come today. We pray now, Lord, that You will settle each heart. That truly, Lord, this is an individual affair with You, Father, but You put in Your Word a place for pastors, teachers, evangelists, apostles, and all those to perfect the saints, Lord. And we pray today that You would use this unworthy vessel just one more time, Lord. May it not be a man speaking, but may it be the Holy Spirit. Speaking to each heart and each mind, Lord, that it'll go deep inside and that they'll eat it, Lord, as John ate the book. May it be, Lord, if it's bitter, it may it be bitter, but, Oh Lord, it's so sweet to say that we have come under the last day word of the hour. We could be out in the world, Lord, doing other things. We could be in nominal churches, Lord, but you chose us. Because, Lord, you knew that we'd want this more than anything. So, Father, I pray that you would bind all the principalities and powers that would come against this service. Bind the brokenhearted. Heal the sick. You said you sent your word and healed the people and delivered them from destruction. So as the word goes forth, may someone be healed, Father. May someone be touched. May someone be saved, Father. May you fill us all again with the Holy Spirit, Lord. That's what we're looking, Lord, for that great outpouring. That you would just pour it on us from head to toe, Lord, as the oil running down Aaron from his head down to his shoes, Father. Just be with us now. Be with Dad as he preaches there in Tennessee, Lord. Just bless him. Bless the little bride around the world, Lord. Continue to be with the ones on the foreign fields. Bless them, Lord, and give them strength to do what they need to do. Father, forgive us of our sins and our many mistakes, because we make many. And Lord, may it be your righteousness that's shown today and not ours, because they are filthy rags, but your righteousness is white as snow. Father, just bless us and be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews 10. Now, if you'll read the whole part of Hebrews, we like to read Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but if you'll read the before and the after. All right, but we're just going to key on 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. So some are not. And I say to you that are listening to the internet, if you don't have a church to go to, you need to find one. Because let me tell you something, people. We might think this isn't an individual affair, and it is. But you're not going to make it by yourself. We are the ones that need help. We are the ones that need to bind together. And I told somebody on the telephone yesterday, I said, Paul said, if an angel come and preach any other thing. So if William Branham was to come back and walk in that door and say, hey, you don't have to go to church anymore. You can get it all by yourself. I'd say that's a liar. Because this Bible cannot be broken. Now, I know Brother Branham said we might be meeting in houses when the squeeze comes, but I look around and I don't see much of a squeeze except for our bellies squeezing against our pants and our shirts. So this is not the squeeze, people. This is where we need help. I wanted to preach a little sermon on the interval between the 6 and the 7, but the Lord just kind of led me to do this, and actually Mama asked me to do this, so I'm going to do this. But anyway. But not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now we might be scattered like the wind, but we're not now. We need help now. We need to get to a place to where if we have to be alone by ourselves, then we can sustain and make it by what God's planted in our heart. But this is not the hour, because if you'll read in Matthew 24:24, he says there's people going to come through and say, lo, he is in the desert. Let's go. But the Bible says, if you know where Christ is, you won't go to the desert. Because it said it'll deceive the very elect if possible. The reason the elect won't be deceived is because you'll know where Christ is. Somebody can't come in and say, hey, Christ is over at this place. You got to know whether that Christ inside of you will take you to that place or not. All right? So it is an individual affair. Brother Dean gave me a wonderful quote. I forgot to bring it up here. But anyway, it is an individual affair, but we must bind together. You have a responsibility today to pull on the gift that God gave me. I know what I'm going to say, but you're going to pull on something that maybe I haven't got in my notes to say. All right? But Paul, you know, Paul in Corinthians, if this is not a way for us to have church, then Paul was wrong. When he got to the Corinthians, he put preachers in, bishops, right? Somebody asked me one time, said, you know, why did God put deacons in the church if the Holy Ghost is the one that's supposed to lead? I said, well, the Holy Ghost ain't in everybody. So that's why you have deacons. Because, you know, the Bible says the Holy Ghost will lead you and guide you into all truth. So why do you need a deacon and an elder? No, you need those. or they wouldn't be in the Bible, because we're human beings. We're sheep, remember, that need to be led. Whether we think we're, you know, kings and priests, we will be. God will give us that time. But right here on this earth, we're sheep, and we need a shepherd. But I just wanted to bring that to you, and just, you got to see in your heart the right thing to do. In your heart, you got to know that you know that you know. Because remember, look in the Bible, and I believe this is where we're at, Brother Dean. In between, you look at, the Bible goes through six seals and stops, and there's an interval. Something's brought in, and then the seventh. You're going to see, even with the statue of a perfect man, you're going to see there's seven ads. But between that sixth and seventh, there's an interval. Everywhere in the Bible, Brother Brown said it was a resting time, a waiting. I believe we're in that time right now, because God's going to shake the ones that shook, needs to be shook. The ones that's going to fall out of the tree is going to fall out of the tree. Let the chips fall where they may, but you know what? It's your choice. You choose. Choose you this day who you'll serve. Now let's get into the sermon. Hebrews 6, please. We're going to walk, Hebrews 6 and 1. We're going to walk through our journey today. We're going to title it, Justified to Glorified. Now, Daddy touched a little on it Wednesday night. I want you to remember one thing. Put this little seed in your heart. God does everything by threes. God is perfected in threes. And when you get into the future home, I didn't bring the quote, but Brother Branham says, in the future home, talking about where we're going to live for an eternity, we're already eternal, he said, justified, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Because the earth has to go through that, even though we're all perfect. The earth has to go through its justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Spirit. So, Hebrews 6 and 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism and laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. All right, now let's turn to Romans 8. Your Bible should automatically open to that. Dad's been on it for a while, and my Bible's got a crease in it, but that's okay. That means it's being used. Y'all have to forgive me. Sinuses are draining. I'm sure some of yours are too. But just pray for us that the Lord will dry it up and we can get something said. Verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? You can be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. And just pray that if we don't get this done in one, we'll do it in two. That's okay. But we wanted to video it, and so we can see kind of visually what we're talking about. But let me start off with a quote from the third seal. You know, Dad's not preaching per se on the seals, but it would be a nice thing if y'all started going back through the seals again. Because truly, that's justification, sanctification. That's redemption. That's redemption. Try not to hit that thing, Tyler, because it's marked in the right spot. So it can show that, not me, but show the board. Okay. Romans 8, we see that God's speaking about this. But watch what Brother Branham says in the third seal. Now we find out that these mysteries are supposed to be revealed. And why don't these other men, Wesley, Luther, and these great reformers who brought out justification and sanctification, the Pentecostal age with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and things, why didn't he catch these messages? Why didn't they get them? Because they were reformers. Just like, take it on the other side, there was people come in who had power as kings, but wasn't kings. See, you have to notice the Bible terminology of anything. See, now watch. But these, the reason that all the stray ends of the mysterious part of justification, the mysterious part of sanctification, the mysterious part of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and why, what kind, what did Eve eat? Did Eve eat an apple or a pomegranate or something? What was the serpent seed? Baptism, name, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, or name of the Lord Jesus. Oh, 100 of those things that has been left loose ends. So Brother Branham comes and we see that Luther had a justification that put him in the body of Christ, but it's not a justification that's going to put me and you in the body of Christ. All right, now I know this is old hat for some of you, but guess what? We're going to go over it one more time. All right, is that okay? And if you can't see this, let me know. I'm going to try to... What's that beeping? Can you hear it? Good, at least it's still beating. All right. Now what we're going to do today is we're going to look at justification to glorification, or justified to glorified, and go through our journey as a Christian. And it's like I told them down in Florida, if you can't relate to this, you need to be born again. So today, people, if I lose you, please start right here with baby faith. Just like Paul, he wasn't saying doing away with the foundation. He said, let's take the foundation and go on to perfection. Because truly, this is where you start your journey, right here. This is your journey. Right? Right there at faith. But you have to come through, and we're going to look today and try to take our time. If we get too fast, somebody say slow down. But when you were born again, you started at faith. Because the Bible says, add to your faith. In 2 Peter, it says, and I love that, it says, having the divine, there's only one divine, having the divine nature. Your nature was not divine. I'll promise you that. It's hard for a lot of you to see it that my nature is divine a lot of times. But somewhere down in there, by the Holy Ghost, our nature is divine. But we're encased in this little thing called the earth. All right? But when we start our journey, and I do like that word divine, because there's really only one divine. When I read that in 2 Peter, Brother Dick, that boils in my heart. When it says, having the divine nature of Almighty God, that ought to make you shout. I mean, it ought to just make you just boil over, because He gave something to you that was divine that you didn't have. And actually, you didn't want. Come on. Were you looking for God? No. He was looking for you. All right. Now, let's start with baby justification. Now, this may be elementary, but we're going to have to start somewhere. All right? So, on our journey, when we become justified, now, there's not a real mysterious part of that, but you know what? There is a real mysterious part of that. How in the world can God take a man like me that, like I've told you many times, this mouth that He uses now was used in a lot of other ways? To say bad things, make people feel bad in a real bad way. This hand, the same hand I used to pick a beer bottle up with. Same, all of you, we all use this thing out here. We know we did this thing, what we did with these things, all right? But God comes in and says, hey, if you'll believe in me, I'll take everything you've done from that point and I'm just going to wash it away. Hey, man. Now, we're just down here. We're not even up here yet. But now, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't bring you a divine nature. But it does put you in an attitude. Like the Bible says, and Paul is correct, those who He has truly... I'm not adding to the word, but I believe that's what Paul was saying. Those He truly justified. You already got a glorified condition up here. Okay? But now there's a lot of people that could be justified. I've seen it happen. You've seen it happen. Come up, make a confession, go right back out in the world, and you never see them again. Well, I believe truly that God said in His Word that if you will believe on me, I'll cut off your past sins. But the next day, you're going to do the same sin over again. Okay? So that's baby form justification, because that's what Luther done. Even when Luther was born again, what did he do? He sat in a pub, smoked a pipe, and drank a beer. Somebody say I'm getting ahead of myself now. But under justification in his age, though, that put him in the body of Christ. That put him right here. But he had nothing to take him any further because the Word had blinded his eyes, right? You can't be blinded by the light, people. Okay? All right? So baby form justification. You walk up and you say, Pastor, I'm tired of living this way. I want my God to deliver me from what I've done in the past. God says, okay, I'm just, I'll do it. So he chops off your past sins. You make a confession of faith. All right? It's like Brother Branham showed about the jar. You see a jar laying out on the street. It's full of mud and water and it's closed up. Well, you know, God picks that jar up and he says, okay, I got you. You're not going to be dirty in that anymore, but that doesn't clean the jar up. So now let's go to sanctification. A deeper walk with God. The next thing what he does is God gives you a new spirit. That's what the Bible said. What Brother Branham said. Brother Branham said he gave you a spirit that you can love God with. And you become in an order, a religious order. And that's the most dangerous part is right here. We had a discussion in a minister's meeting down in Florida, and I don't think the preachers got what Dad and I were trying to get to them, but they were saying, we read in 2 Peter where God says, after you get all these virtues, they make you. You read in 2 Peter, says they make you. In other words, they do. If you receive all them virtues, that makes you a better person, a son of God. All right. So they were saying, well, if this makes, then why are our people still acting the way they're acting? And, buddy, I just went over there and I said, because you know what? They're stuck right here thinking they're right here. And I said, you're even thinking they're right here. See, we as ministers, we want to believe everybody's full of the Holy Ghost, saved and ready to go. But he said, fear not, little flock. Right there. The unclean spirit goes out of a man, walks in dry places, seeketh rest, findeth none. Comes back, brings seven more religious demons. Religious, not drunks, religious demons. Puts you in church and tells you that you have faith now. You have the Holy Ghost. That's the devil's ploy. But if you truly are sanctified, God does clean you up and puts you in order or in aside for service. He takes the jar and cleans the outside of the jar up and sets it up on a shelf and gets you ready for service, but you're not in service. But let me come back to this, because let me tell you, right here is where the devil has a lot of people in this message stuck. And a lot of you. Well, there's no amens on that one, but boy, everybody else, oh, amen, everybody else. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got everybody else stuck, but when he said you... I've been back 10 years, and there's a lot of you hadn't moved one inch in 10 years, so. Hey. But you know what? I hope to God that he reveals to you that you're sanctified, and that's where you're at. Because then he can bring you up to the baptism of the Holy Spirit or faith. But people, it's a journey. We must continue. We must continue. That's why we need each other. We need Bible study. We need Sunday school. I don't see how that's so organizational. I see the people at Ephesus, they gathered together 12 people. They did not just sit there and look at each other. They talked about the Word of God, and the Bible said they exhorted each other. In other words, they spoke one to the other. What? About their journey. What do you think you and I are going to talk about for an eternity? We're going to want to hear everybody's journey. I am. Luther's going to wonder how he got stuck down here and we got all the way up here. We're going to tell him what his justification, though, took us to. Because that justification in this Bible is the same one that Luther got a hold of. But we can take it and show the mysterious part, and he's going to ask you, how did you get from here to here? Because I only got here. You don't believe that? I believe Luther exactly will say, how in the world did you get from here to there? All right. Brother Brown said, Luther, It's just like he went to sleep and woke up the next morning. When he comes back in this dimension, it's just like he went to sleep and come right back into this dimension. All right? But I don't believe that Luther's going to come back into this dimension with all the full knowledge of the headstone. I may be wrong. But I think we're going to be learning more. You say, well, we're going to be perfect and eternal and all these things. Well, that's right. But what about the guy with a cup of water in my name and the foolish virgins? They don't have an understanding like you and I have. And you know what? We're going to be able to teach them, I believe. Because the Bible says we're priests and kings. Brother Branham said if we're priests and kings, we're going to have somebody to preach to and somebody to rule over. Now that's the Bible. That ain't nothing that me and you come up with. We're to be priests and kings. Okay. Sometimes we take look at these little statements we make and we don't really think about them. But if you think about them, you're going to be priests and kings. What are you going to be a priest over if there's not somebody to tell something to? All right? Now, justification. God, I'm finished with my life. I don't want nothing to do with the old man. Sanctification. God, clean me up and set me aside and get me ready to go into service. Because what I'm doing is I'm not satisfied with that same, because remember, that still didn't do anything to that inside guy. The real you, the soul. The soul is still black at sanctification, right? He's cleaning it up. Alright? But until he comes right here, there is not two people in your soul fighting. It's either faith or doubt. You're either black or white. Right? Black being the devil and white being God. All right? So it's not two souls. We're not worried about all that junk because that's neither here nor there. But God cleans us up. And then what does he do? Right here at faith, Brother Branham said he comes down through all that and gives you a divine nature of Almighty God. Which actually a lot of people think, well, praise God, I got the Holy Ghost, it's over. No, it just begins. Your journey just begins at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're still going to have problems. You're still going to have trials. You're still going to have tests. Because that's what this man is from here up to here. We're going to fill this in a minute. All right? But does everybody understand so far? Justification. Chopped off your past sin. Sanctification. Cleans you up and sets you aside for service. And then God comes down into your soul. Burns out that old nature. And then puts his nature in. Now that's not unclean. That's the divine nature of God. This man right here is already glorified. This is yes and this is no. Okay. Nod a little louder, would you? The devil's telling us that that's not right. That's what he's telling you in your head. Glorified. We can't go past Romans 8:30. Those who he justified, he's already, that's past tense, glorified. So in your soul today, if you're born again, you are everything. Now don't get me wrong, you're everything you need for your journey is right here. But that does not end your journey. Now, there's a teaching in the message that when you get the Holy Ghost down here, that you're done. You're already up here because this is where the other church age is up here, you know, where this is where we're supposed to be right here. And Laodicea. All right? See, that's so you get everything. Well, yeah, I believe you get everything. But, you know, we were reading the other day, When a little girl is conceived in the womb, a girl, that at, was it 6 weeks? At 6 or 8 weeks, if you having a baby and it's a girl, at 6 weeks old, she already starts producing eggs in her body for her journey in life. But now let's just be adults for a minute. She's not going to be able to make that manifest until she becomes a girl. I mean a lady. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? Past 12 years old, 13, 14, whenever, you know, time of life starts and all that. But she has everything she needs. Everything. Got all of her fingers. One eye on each side of their nose. Everything she needs to conceive and have children. But we know it's an awful thing. They can't do that until they're 12 or 13 years old. But hey, they got all the parts. They got all the way to do it right here. But can she do it? Nope. She's got to wait for her journey in life to take her to a place that she can become a wife and then become a mother. There's stages. Then truly, yes, we received everything, because you can't go what the Bible says. It says justified to glorified right here. Now, we have a journey. That's a three-stage journey that we must go from this baby justification to where God's going to change somebody's body and we're going to have a glorified body on this earth. Because those who He's justified, He's already glorified. Now, we're not going to teach a new birth. All right? Some people said Brother Branham changed his attitude or changed his way about a new birth back in, you know, after the seals were broke. No, they just missed what he was saying, Brother Dean. He just took us higher into the Holy Spirit. He just revealed more of the Holy Ghost that we had not seen before. It wasn't a new birth. You don't just... Hey, listen. Right here's where I'm telling you where the people are stuck in this message, because they say this right here. I am in the message. I believe what Brother Branham said. You can die and go to hell right there. You can sit in a message church and dry up and die and go to hell right there. I am in the message. I believe what Brother Branham said. The devil's got you beat on that one. He comes to church a lot more than some of y'all do. But right, that's it. You must have an experience of justification. You must have an experience of sanctification. And you're definitely going to have an experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to see that your life has changed. Now listen, that don't kill all that comes to you from all different sides. Don't think we're walking in perfection here. But let me tell you something. That guy down inside of here, whether you like it or not, as perfect as God is, it never did anything wrong. It never said a bad word. But the guy you're looking at here did. Okay? Because we're going to see something in a minute that come to light to me just the other day. But now, let's start our journey, because really now this is our journey and this is where we begin. Now, I'm not going to draw all the virtues. We're just going to start all over again. You can put it here or there, doesn't matter. You remember Brother Brown put it right here, right? And we will for... And then we're going to get rid of that and that, because we got a capping stone that goes on there. All right, now we start all over again. Why? Because we need it. Let's just be honest, people. Listen. You go home and you live with yourself. We can pretty ourselves up. There's a guy that the guy I bought the house from, well, it was Terrence, but the one before that was Jackie Siggers, and he usually sees me in my jeans and a t-shirt, and he come by and he said, "You sure clean up good." And I thought, yeah, the outside man's as clean as you can get when you come to church. But what about the inside man? What about your daily walk? You're the only one that knows. You can fool a preacher. You can fool your fellow people most of the time, but you never can fool God. He's always there. He knows what you're thinking right now. So let's don't fool God. Let's just listen to what He says. So now, the first stage, we got what? There was three things, right? So God can't break His continuity. Right, Brother Gary? He can't break His continuity. He's got to go back to threes again. All right? But we're going to look at something here, and we're going to kind of bring something out that maybe you hadn't thought of before. And that will be, we're going to go back through justification again. You say, well, brother, he's already chopped off my past sins. The prophet of God says Christians sin every day. Now, I'm not talking about sin down here. That's gone, cut off. Does everybody understand that? This is chopped off. If we could ever get to this part, it'll help. Isn't that right, Brother Nick? I mean, really, if we get a true revelation of justification, but you still got stages that you got to go through, because this justification, then I realize that this guy did something. All right? Down here, I realize that what happened was gone, and I've got to clean myself up to go to the next step, and I may, here it may be cigarettes. Let's just take that for example. Justification chops off your past sins, but you know what? Tomorrow you're going to light another cigarette up. Right? All right? Even in sanctification. But right there is really where everything, that's why everybody takes this and thinks, well, that's the Holy Ghost because the snuff box went out the door. No, when I come back to the Lord that day, I knew I chewed tobacco for 20 years every day, just like cigarette smokers. But when God cleaned, when God forgive me of my sin, and I come out of that water the day that Daddy baptized me in January, there in 1998, I knew I was on this journey because I felt cleaner than any day of my life. I felt like that water had washed everything away. But you know what? I didn't start shouting, I've got the Holy Ghost. When I started shouting that I had the Holy Ghost is when the word that I had held all those years. See, I can only tell you my journey. The word that I had held all those years, God started doing this. Oh, I could tell you about serpent seed. But serpent seed comes all the way down to this man. Not just what happened in the garden, but God started bringing this word alive. And that's when I started my journey. That's when God came and filled me with the Holy Ghost and said, hey, I need you, knucklehead. But you know what? Even in here, I was still a knucklehead. Because God still had to say, hey, you did something wrong, because then I can go back in the Word and see that I did it wrong. I did something wrong. Okay? Now, not the smoking. No, now that's gone. If you still smoking here, that means you're still here. I want us to realize that. You know, if we're doing stuff, you know, if we're still cursing and all these things like that, you're still down here. Maybe you're in a journey. That's why I used to, you know, when you first become a Christian, and Brother Joe, if you can, I know you can hear me, we're going to probably take two services on this one and we won't do the other one. Because I don't want to be too long. But I want to get all these points. But we look at our journey. And when we become saved. Because really, like Brother Branham, I was reading, I've been going back in the 50s and reading some of the prayer lines. You know, it's a strange thing. He was a prophet. And he would bring those people up to that platform under the total anointing of the Holy Spirit. And he'd say, lady, said, you've got problems. Said, your husband's dying of cancer. Said, oh, I see you're a preacher. Now, that was God on the platform. God and a prophet. He never rebuked that woman for being a woman preacher. I never heard him say, oh, you don't need to do that no more. But we, when we become saved, we become legalists. I have my hand way up here. Because what? We're still under what? The law. You're under the law until right here. Until you're born again. You're under the law. All right? But you don't do away with the law. You just magnify it and make it holy. I'm not finished yet. Don't think I'm doing away with the law. But you're all lawyers. You're all condemning everybody. And I did the same thing. But I kept watching that prophet, and he would not. Sure, now when he was preaching, see, he'd say that's a different anointing. the anointing of preaching, he can stand here and he say, woman should not get in the pulpit. But now when that woman preacher walk up there under that anointing of the discernment, he never rebuked her. He would even tell sinners, he said, you need to be saved. But he never would go through and he'd say, now you know what you've done in your life. Well, now you know he was watching their life all the way back in that vision. And he'd say, now you know what you've done, you need to be saved. But he never, what I'm trying to say is, Brother Branham, everybody says, well, Brother Branham was a legalist and he was against this and against that. To me, I don't believe that. I believe Brother Branham was the biggest, largest, greatest grace preacher I've ever heard of. Because if you don't take the grace that he brought you and I, we're all dead and gone. Because we can't live under Wesley's age or Pentecostal. We've got to see the grace of God, because all this right here is grace. God's grace that he justified you. His grace that he sanctified you. And grace that he filled you with the Holy Spirit. Because none of us deserved it. But we all are lawyers. And that's not too bad. But let's don't stay that way. And let's don't keep preaching about hair and dress. Get the Holy Ghost and you won't have to preach about hair and dress. I was reading the other day, Brother Brown said about St. Martin, said he was not satisfied until every member of his church was filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, he probably still had problems, but he probably didn't have problems with dress and hair and little things like that, because you get the Holy Ghost and you won't do those things. All right? So if you cut your hair, you ain't got the Holy Ghost. If you paint your face, you ain't got the Holy Ghost. I mean, it's really simple to go through here and see that this right here is now a work going out the other way. Everybody understand it's the work, inward work going out. All right? And that's why we come back to here. Because this right here is justification, is working on everything. Now we're going to go into the inner chamber, where in the inner chamber we're there alone with God, but we still got that thing that mom and daddy brought us here with. Okay? All right? We're still in this guy. But now listen, those who he has justified, don't lose that. And I'm going to put body. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you're truly justified today, that body I'm looking at, I'm going to look at for an eternity at 20 years old. I'm not going to look at another body. So those who he's justified, Brother Donnie, he's already glorified. Body, we just have not. The devil, that's the devil, that's what he's doing. He's trying to cut us off. Like Daddy said, starting in the mind and working his way down. He's trying to get us to see that we're not worthy. We're not. But if we go into here and see the Word of God, the promises, I wrote promise right here on top of my Bible. All right, looking down to that, those who he's glorified, he's justified, he's already glorified. But we have to go through stages. The little baby girl's got everything she needs to produce children. But guess what? She can't bring a body until she gets to a stage. All right? She can't bring the Word into reality until she gets to a certain stage. And that's the second stage we're going to work on here. Justification. Working on not just chopping off these old sins here, but our daily walk, the daily living. This right here, all of these virtues, Brother, what's his name? Keith Reed. He brought this here one time. And that's exactly what this is. You can bundle all this up into right here. That's your trials of life. Because it's okay to draw these lines to separate faith, virtue, knowledge. But to me, Brother Dick, take these lines out. Because it's a blending and a molding of you. A nature of you don't just get faith. And Brother Branham had to bring it as something we can understand, like a step. But it's not really just saying, well, I got faith. Now I got virtue. Now I got no. No, it's a blending together of all these virtues. You don't leave faith down at the bottom. We need faith right here. We need more faith right here. All right? We need virtue here. We got to have more virtue up here. Because remember, this is nothing more but this in a small form. This is the pyramid in itself, the headstone. Right? And you know what? Bring him right down here and he's a corner. That's exactly where you start from, right here. That little piece right there, you can take it and put it right there. So he's the chief corner. But he becomes the head. All right? Everybody with me? All right. Justification. We need it. Now, if we have the divine nature of God, he is obligated to bring these into our life and show them to us. But you and I can cut that off and not go on with God, because we see a lot of people, and it's not a hindrance to say they died, because they all died in Christ if they're born again. All right? But there is a group of people, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to preach and I'm going to make it to here. If I pass on, you can say, well, he didn't have enough to get himself to right here. But it was my problem. I'm 50 years old. I got some work to be done. But with God's help, as long as I'm breathing, I'm going to try. Like my old football coach said, lead, follow, or get out of the way. Don't stand in somebody's way. God don't ever let me do that. Justification, though, in the body. Once you're in the body of Christ, you still have to watch yourself. You have to watch, and I believe you're more aware here even than here of the things that happen in your life that you have to say, God, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. You know, here, this, remember, this right here is a struggle. It's a fight when you're down here in your first part of your journey. And it don't get a lot easier up here, but at least you can take the, at least you can take and go back to that tie post that's inside here and say, God, you promised it right here in this word. Because remember, down here, you're not in the family or the economy of God until you're born again. You're beginning, but you're not, you cannot have the promises of God until you're right here. No adoption. No virtues. You're out of the economy of God. But when you come into faith, that's why it's real wide at the bottom, because you need a lot of it. Don't we? But it gets narrower. Thank God. I told you, I don't think I'm at godliness yet, because I just don't believe I'm there. And I sure need to be better to you guys, to my brothers and sisters. But at least I know I'm on a journey. Amen. All right? But I believe God takes us through these, but it's something that you and I have to do. We can't. Paul says, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let's go into perfection. So we just don't erase this and drop it. That's your foundation. That's your foundation to work off of, and then start building these little blocks. I like the real pyramid. It's got the blocks in it. Because that's the way I live. I don't live with these great big long lines. I live one little block at a time. All right? Like keeping my mouth shut. Doing the right thing. Really. When I should. And talk when I should. And be quiet when I should. And I really, like Brother Dick said, we're both highly opinionated. And Brother Dick sometimes thinks I don't like him, but I really love him because he's just like me. He just done it a little longer than I have. I love all of you. You know what? I want us all to be here. You know, and the things I do say to some of you, and I really apologize for maybe the way I said it, but I don't apologize for what I say. Because if we can't come to church on time, if we can't do the little things, God's not obligated to do any of this for us. Does everybody understand that? If we can't get to church on time and pray and be here and be a part of the service and praise God and worship, then you know what you've done? You've put a cap on anything God can do for you. You have. We're talking about capping the pyramid off. You cap yourself off down here, and it's not a good thing to be down here and be capped, because what you do is, you know what that cap is? It ain't a stepping stone, it's a tombstone. Little boy rode by a out. I guess he was riding by, and the little boy looked out the window and said, Daddy, I know why those heavy rocks are on top of those graves. His daddy said, why? He said, so the people can't get up. Well, guess what? There's a little truth to that. But it's one that we put on our head, not the one that God puts on our head. God wants us all to come to perfection. Or He would not have give us, look people, He give us a roadmap, which is the Bible. Then He give us, I want to say the message to me is like Google Earth. Round ball, and you can zoom right down to where you live. You can see the doors and the windows. Well, guess what? That's what this message done. It zoomed everything down on a life lived as an individual. Okay? So these trials of life, we go through justification. We have to have our sins forgiven every day. All right? Now, yet you're filled with the Holy Ghost. And right here, don't get me wrong. Right here, you're born again. You're ready to go to heaven and have an eternal, glorified body. But that's why Paul said, let's go on to what? Perfection. Okay? This is not perfection. It was for the other ages, but it's not perfection for you and I. That's why we have to live higher and better. That don't mean we walk around with a stuffed shirt and we're better than anybody else. There's no difference in me and Adolf Hitler, except Adolf Hitler turned God down and I didn't. I'm sure that, you know, Adolf Hitler had a little Jew in him. You know that, don't you? He was Jewish. His background was Jewish. And they said he read the Bible. But somewhere, you know, God came to him and he turned it down, and you see what happened. He may have even come here to here. And guess what filled that up? Seven devils. Worse than he was the first time. We don't understand, people, that we look at all these people in history and we look at all these people down through time. They're just like you and I. God has to come to them in a way to say, hey, I can save you if you'll let me. Because that would be a respecter of persons if he didn't. Okay, so that makes us, Dick, where I'm not no better than Adolf Hitler. It's just that I accepted God and he come down and done a work, and then he let the devil do a work. All right? Same thing with Judas Iscariot. Brother Branham said Judas was under the sanctification that Jesus gave him. He sent him out to do mighty miracles and mighty works. But look what he done. He let that devil come right back in. You know what? He said, I'm in the message. I believe what Jesus said. But you know what he said? He said, let's get on with it. And he went to sell Jesus out. Because I believe, this is my point with Judas, I believe he thought Jesus was something, but before his time, he went to the priest and said, hey, this guy says he's this. I want you to prove it. I want you to do something to him and let him say it. Because, see, remember, even the other 11 didn't have a clue that Judas was doing what he was doing. So he must have been a pretty good church member. I'm telling you, people, we're going to find out a lot. That there's a lot of people. I'm going to say half the people in this message are running around sanctified and don't have a clue about this message. What's really going on in this message of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or we wouldn't act like we do sometimes. Come on, people. Fear not, little flock. Amen. People are building big churches and 300 and 400 people in the message. That's what I was trying to get them preachers. They had one preacher, he's got a couple hundred in his church, and he said, why are my people still acting the way they're acting? I kept pointing back to this. I went, I finally said, brother, I said, they're just not all born again. You know, I don't think he accepted that, but you know what? I said it in just as much love as I could. Whew. Justification. Now sanctification. Paul said, I die daily. We know right here that the old man died, and we become a new creature in Christ Jesus. All right? But I still want to be cleaned and set aside for more service of God. And the only way he's going to clean me and put me in service is he's going to have to give me these virtues. Knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. Because remember, here we go to again. This is very, very horrible place to stay. Guess what you come back to right here? That's a horrible place to stay. Because you can think you're somewhere else and just be right there. I die daily. Faith, virtue, knowledge. Because what did Brother Branham say? He said, power without what? These characters is satanic. And that could work on the outside guy. That's why you see a lot of things happening to people in the message. Now you say, well, boy, you got quiet on that one. But let me tell you something. Brother Branham made a statement one time. He said there was a preacher, remember, that went over to the black man at the store and said, I'm done with religion. Buy me some beer. Right? Brother Branham said God took his servant home. So he had to be right here somewhere. God took his servant home so he wouldn't mar his name. Right? Where was he at? He was done. I've done all I can do. I'm finished with it. He let a devil come in. You're going to see a lot of people. That's why a lot of people are going to have to go by the grave, because they can't get all this out of them. Why? Because this is what? Cleaned and set aside for God to put you in some other service besides down here. A deeper service. Maybe not another service, but a deeper service. You're thinking about that one, aren't you? We got it all when we down here, guys. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm like Brother Jim Pinkston. He's a little bit more harsh than I am out in Wichita. We email each other back and forth every once in a while. He don't mind calling people's names. And certain people died out in Missouri or somewhere. And buddy, he told them. He called a guy's name. He said God took that man off the scene because he was messing up. In other words, he was messing up the scene. But he was a godly man, but there were some things he was doing. That's why I'm telling you, people. This thing's not over until it's over. The devil can still anoint you on the outside, and you can still have the Holy Spirit inside. What do you think about, you say, oh, let me give you another example. Say if somebody came up to me and hit me in the head, and it changed some chemical imbalance in my body, which I've seen it done to an older gentleman one time, and he just started cursing like crazy. And I believe he was a born-again Christian man. Just lived 50 years for God. Something happened to his body, and it brought all that stuff up, and of course he died. But we got to look and see. That's why I want you to see that there's three stages here to put you in the body. Three stages here to get you higher. But let's look at it for a second. Think about that, though. We always think, well, power without character is satanic. That must be the Antichrist. I don't know, people. There's something about that right there that's the same mystery as about something about that there. That things can happen in our outside being, that we can be overtaken by a devil and still be born again. Why did the Bible even tell us, you know, to turn somebody over to the devil? So that their soul can be saved. Is that what it says? So that must be somebody up here. That ain't somebody down here. That's somebody that's already in the body of Christ. So that's what I mean. Look. Now, I can take this right here, and I'm not so much in law now. I have grace for everybody, even if somebody's wrong, even if somebody wrongs me, or even if I see somebody wrong somebody else. I know it's the devil, it's not that person. Okay? So don't count everybody out that we're trying to count out, okay? It's not us to do the separating, it's God to do the separating. Right? Everybody okay? All right. Now, let's look and see, just for a minute, let's stop right here. Because in these trials of life, this is a real journey. But now what's God going to do is he begins something that they really didn't see much I don't think what I was talking about down in, I hope they don't hear this. But it's hard to see because Brother Branham comes in and he talks about a white horse rider and then a red horse rider, right? And then a black and then a pale. Okay? And we want to take this, and Brother Branham does, but I believe this is a mystery that's hid to a lot of people, is that we don't get what Brother Branham was talking about when he was talking about the white horse rider. Now, you got to go back and look in the message and see that the seals does not glorify the devil. The seals glorify Jesus Christ. In other words, brings him out in the open. Expose the devil for sure. But how do you expose the devil? You bring Jesus Christ out on the scene. Listen, right here's your key. Power was given to that white horse rider. Read your Bible. We're not going to read it when we don't have time. Power was given to the red horse rider. Power was given. Now, let's go and flip this thing around because Brother Branham said, God always does something and then the devil comes and copies it. Right? We always want to stay on the seals and go, well, white horse rider was the Antichrist. Well, guess what? In your journey, the first thing God does, what does he do? He shows you that you're righteous. You are white. We know this is false. But God has to do something first before the devil can imitate coming behind. So God rides out. He rode out in that first church age. God rode first. He come on the day of Pentecost. Then the devil come down. Right? Are we going to give the devil all the glory? No. Because when you come to right here, this is what I see from me. God begins to show me his righteousness, but it's blending into what I'm doing. Makes me righteous. Shows me that white horse rider, remember, rode away. Why? He couldn't stand where he was at. Right? He was riding away. He wasn't riding toward. He was riding away from that lamb. Right here, people, the lamb comes on the throne right there, right? Lamb comes on the throne at your new birth. Gives you the Holy Ghost and he sits down on that throne. Then what happens? That's what happens in the virtues. All these bad guys start riding off. But who's on the scene first? God. God shows you that you're just as righteous as he is. That's the second mystery of justification. Down here, you know you're a sinner. Nobody has to tell you that. You know that. But when you become born again, God starts revealing his righteousness to you. Okay? Red horse. Now what happened when that red horse rode out? He killed people, right? That's why the horse was red, right? Now what does he do? What sanctifies you? What color is blood? So this can show you that the blood of Jesus Christ comes and sanctifies you, and then there goes that red horse rider. Away. You got to see him going away from you. It doesn't do you any good to see him going away from the prophet. You're back down here again. Amen? But let's take the seals and let's make them, because people read the seals and go, what? White horse rider was the Antichrist, red horse rider was the Antichrist, black horse rider was the Antichrist. I agree 100%. But But you got to see these going away from you. So seeing them going away from you, you got to see that God's doing something to make them right away from you. Is everybody is okay? All right. We'll stop in a minute, and then we'll go up higher later on this afternoon. Brother Joe just put part two on this afternoon, because we won't get to the other one we're going to do. Okay, but that's okay. I hope this is helping somebody. Because, Brother Al, you got to see that white horse right away from you, but you got to see that is the devil trying to trick you. But you still got to see, once you're in the economy of God, he's obligated. If you'll do what he says, he's obligated to make you white. I'm talking about working out through this other guy, the one your mom and daddy gave you. All right? Red is what? Blood. What did Brother Branham say? Jesus' blood dropped on the earth and done what? Sanctified it. That's why we have to come to this degree right here and see that it's the blood of Jesus Christ, not the blood of a man, but God. Jesus was not just divine, he was Almighty God. From blood all the way to the hair on the top of his head. If that wasn't the blood of God that died for me and you, then we need somebody else. Now, what does black represent? Death. We can name that sucker now. He's death. When you come to here, who's dead? We're all dead. When you come to right here, we're all dead. Because the old man's dying. I die daily, but see, Brother Branham said, that's why he said you come up here and you don't have the Holy Spirit yet. That's true. But he says in the true baptism. Now, you say, well, that's from fault. Then this was a false baptism? No. That was just more of what he already said. But there's more of this. And he said little waves, right, running down. The Holy Spirit coming down through Christ. Holy Spirit, Christ is doing what? He's killing us. Because right here you're going to see Christ, not yourself. If you still see yourself right here, come on, people. That looks like a mess, but I hope you understand anything out of that. You ought to see what was up here before I wrote that. Downstairs, we've been going through Daniel 70 weeks, and it looked pretty messy, too. But you know what? Every time there's a birth, there's a mess. Water, blood, and life. I hope this gives life to somebody, or it'll help you a little bit. But we see now that you say, well, you got one more, because remember, you got four death messengers, which are these guys, but you got to have four life messengers to bring it back. But you say you got four. You said you were perfected in threes. What is this right here? What is that? If you take white, red, and black and mix them all together, you get pale. Take it sometime. Take white, red, and black and mix it up in a paint can. What do you get? Pale. So justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost makes way for what? The Holy Ghost himself. All this mixed in together brings one man, Christ. Then you can take it and you can show how the lion, and we'll do that this afternoon because we'll stop now. Because remember, you got a lion, an ox, a man, and an eagle. Right? Can't forget those four guys because they're the ones that kill all this. And we'll talk about that this afternoon. Let's stand. Musicians, come. We'll just stop right there. That way we'll be okay for this afternoon. Everybody all right?
All right.
This may be cut and dried, but you know what? I'm a teacher and I can't help it. I can't make you. I can give you some ice cubes if you want something to go up and down your spine, but it wouldn't be God. It'd be me. If we're not established on this Word of God, people, we will be deceived. Call it whatever you want to call it. we will be deceived if we are not walking in the Word of God. And let me tell you something again, people. If you can't see your life, Brother Gary, if you can't see your life in that journey, please don't leave this building. Don't go to sleep. Don't eat another bite until you realize that God's doing that right there. Because you know what? That's the truth, people. I believe that's the truth. I believe God's told you exactly how He's going to bring you right up through that. Not just say justification. I mean, not just say faith, virtue, knowledge. That's what's all in that. But it's in a little different way that you can see how God is working on you by just three things. Justification, sanctification. And you know what? When He brings the headstone, He's going to bring you through justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that'll be the culmination. And He'll set that thing right down on top of you. And like Brother Branham says, let me read this one. Statue of a perfect man. Now that is the house that God dwells in, not a building with a big bell on top of it and a high steeple, but a body hast thou prepared me. A body that God can dwell in, God can walk in, God can see in, God can talk in, God can work in. Amen. Living instrumentality of God. God walking on 2 feet in you. Glory. The footstep of the righteous is ordered of God. God walking in you, for you are written epistles, read of all men. And if the life that's in Christ be in you, you'll bear the life that Christ bore. We're going to see this afternoon that we know that when we started on that journey, the real you did what you did. Then we're going to see that it was as if you never done it, because you know you did it, but you went through this journey and God is taking all that out of you. But you're going to have to come to a place to realize. Let me give you a point to ponder until this afternoon. When Jesus was in the garden, Peter was standing beside of Him. The temple guards come to get Him, right? It wasn't the Romans, it was the temple guards. Because He said, why did you come get me now? Why didn't you arrest me when I was in the temple? So it was the temple guards that come to get Him. Remember, one guy reaches to get Jesus, and Peter pulls a sword, cuts the ear. Right? What does Jesus do? He reaches down and restores the ear as if it never happened. Because I don't believe there was blood all over that man when he restored. What he done, he picked that ear up and he showed that me and you, when God touches us, He don't restore us to where there's still blood on that man's clothes. I believe He restored that man back to before his ear was cut off. I know it depicts it in all the other, that's the only way they can depict it in plays, but why would you think God could pick up an ear, put it back on, and there'd still be blood all over the man? I don't believe that. But the temple guard saw it. Peter saw it. The crowd saw it. But when that man went back to tell his story, nobody saw it. It was as if he never done it. That's where you got to see, people, that God took me and you. He took pieces. And when He touches you, He don't leave you halfway. He takes care of every bit of it. Let's sing a song. We'll talk about it this afternoon.
37 in spot. Have
thine own way. If you have a need.
Thou art the potter.
That's it.
Heavenly Father, You heard our brother. Lord, in sincerity, He wants You to lead him in the way, Lord, that You want him to go. Father, we pray too that You'll touch, Lord, what he's doing with his job, Lord, and that You will give him, Lord, whatever open door he needs. Lord, but more than anything, raise him up in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, Lord. That you'll take these things, Lord, that's said, and that they'll go to his heart, Lord, and that he'll nourish him, Father, and may they bring forth, Lord, fruit. Bless our brother, Lord. Bless his ministry, Lord. Bless his family, Father, and keep him safe. But, Lord, if that job's what he needs, Lord, then just give it to him, Father. That'll help him, Lord, in his way. Just bless him now and be with him. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Just got to believe, man. Journey.
Amen.
That's right.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
Listen to this. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray.
Help me, I pray.
Okay. Amen. Amen. We all do. You believe? Dear Heavenly Father, you've heard our sister, Lord. And it's a confession, Lord, that she's not settled in her life, Lord. We pray, Father, now that you'll settle her, Lord. Give her strength in what she's doing. And, Lord, may you touch her, Lord, in the darkness of night, Lord, or in the cool of the day, Father. Just come and speak to our sister, Lord. Speak to her, Lord, where she is, Father, and just help her, Lord, in her journey. We ask your blessings, Lord, as she'll come up in the day of judgment, Lord, and be a pillow, Father, from people that won't even come to church, Lord, or that won't even seek you, Father. May she be a witness in front of them, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we ask these things, and we call it settled in Jesus' name. Amen. That's right. God will do it, people, if you'll just ask him.
See Christ only always.
Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, you've heard our brother, Lord. And it's a confession of his mouth, Lord, that he needs you, Lord, to help him in the way, Lord, that he has in his life. Father, we pray now that you'll come, Lord, and it be a sweetness just come over our brother, Lord, and that he'll see you, Lord, and realize, Lord, that those weeds, Lord, that he's pulling up, Lord, may you pull them up for him, Father. Lord, you handle all the things. Just turn it over to you, Lord, and let Christ live in our brother, Lord, and let him see you, Lord, and let his journey be continued, Father. And let it be one, Lord, that's just sanctified, Lord, and filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Give us a refilling today, Lord, as we both touch each other, Father. That you'd refill both of us, Lord. Touch us, Father, and give us strength, Lord. Be a blessing to our brother, Lord, as he's a blessing to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It'll be okay. You'll be fine. You'll be okay. You will. It's okay. Don't fight yourself, man. Let God do your fighting for you. Okay, that's all you need.
I need Master today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence, humbly I bow.
That's a very fitting song. Because a lot of times, and we'll kind of cover it this afternoon, it's in my notes to cover this morning, but I kept it till this afternoon. It's a fight. This is not a picnic. This is a battle. And it's a battle that you and I can't fight. And if you just turn it over to God, that's our problem. That's my problem. My problem is I try to fight my own battles. Brother Richard, that's the truth. I mean, I'm being just as honest as I can be. I try to fight my own battles, and I lose a lot of them. But if we'll quit fighting and let God do the fighting for us, you say, how? Through strength in brethren, through strength in the Word, through strength in listening. You know, Brother Branham made a profound statement. He said, if you're stingy, give your money away. He said, just do the vice versa. Now, that's a prophet telling you. You know, somebody asked him, said, well, what, Brother Brown, what do you do if you're stingy? He said, start giving money away. He said, if you're backwards toward people, he said, start doing the vice versa. Just start being happy. And, you know, he didn't go to the Word. He didn't go to here. And he didn't, you know, but I believe that comes from heaven. Just do the vice versa. You know, if you're stubborn, help. If you're stubborn, just start giving in, right? Start saying, okay, all right. I'm telling you what the prophet said. He said to do the vice versa. And you know, that's the truth, because you get up in the morning, you say, well, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to do this. Go. Because who's telling you that? Is it God telling you not to go? I don't think so. I've come to the conclusion. The devil's a liar, and he can't do anything but lie. Even when he tells the truth, he's lying. Because he told Jesus, he did the same thing. You know, he took Jesus on the mountain, or on the temple, and said, he quoted the scripture to him. But he quoted it in the wrong time, in the wrong place. In other words, he told him what the Word said. It's like Daddy said the other night, Brother Branham, you can take him back and say, Brother Branham, you said this verbatim right here. And he said, oh, I didn't say that. Jesus Christ said one time, baptize in the name of Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And they'll quote you that and they'll say, that's what Jesus said. But that ain't what Jesus said. Right? So, you know, so was it then, so is it now. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, the devil will tell you anything. Let's sing We're Standing on Holy Ground. Because I believe we are. We walk on this earth, we're just like Abraham. We have a possession. We're going to rule this earth.
We are standing on holy ground. And I know that there are angels all around. Oh, let us pray.
Oh, give him double praise. Get both hands up.
Jesus now, for we are standing in His presence on holy ground.
One more time.
Oh, we are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now, for we are standing in His presence on holy ground.
Before we go, take that hand and lay it over on somebody. Reach and touch somebody. Up here, we're okay. You just keep on playing. Just had it on my heart. Somebody sick. Somebody needs healing. Somebody needs a touch from God. I don't care what it is. Reach over and put your hand on somebody. Bow your head. Dear Heavenly Father, You've impressed us to do this for some reason, Lord. And I pray, Father, that whatever it is, that You'll show fruit. Because, Lord, it's something You told me to do, Lord, just now. And I pray, Father, that You'll touch each one, from the musicians behind, Lord, all the way to downstairs, wherever somebody's standing, Lord. That there truly are angels standing here, ready to minister healing. Ready to bring that burning coal off the fire and touch our lips, Lord. And as Isaiah screamed, I am of unclean lips. But that angel came down and put it on his lips and said, prophesy, preach. Tell the world about this great gospel that we have a hold of. And Father, as we've laid hands on each other, that angels will touch, Lord, and minister to each person. Father, forgive us of our sins and our mistakes, Lord, the things that we do wrong. We ask your forgiveness, Lord. Take us all up to that statue of a perfect man, Lord. If we're not filled with the Holy Ghost, Lord, fill us complete, Lord. Justify us, Lord. Sanctify us. Clean us up. Wash us by the water of your word, Lord. Be with each one, Father. We're all getting older, Lord. We all need you more for the things that we do each day. And I pray now, Lord, that you'll touch each person in this building. Open the eyes of the ones that can't see. The ears of the ones that can't hear. Naturally and spiritually, Lord. Lord, as a surge goes through the building, Father, may you heal each one. Mold us and make us into what you want us to be, Lord. Until we come back this afternoon, Lord, just may we live under this shower of blessings, Lord, that you've given us. Give us our daily bread, Lord, and forgive us of our trespasses. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Those all around. You're dismissed if you want to go. Oh, land.